And the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he asked them, "Well, what things?" And they replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and beside all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They said that they were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, he blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' And that same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together, and they were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." And the Gospel of Christ. Amen. And, you know, like we have said so many times before, you got to keep your eyes open for the miracles. I believe that that part of faith is a reward for your believing, for your trusting, and part of that believing and trusting is keeping your eyes open for God to answer. Now, I have a question for you. If you were to receive a telegram, not something that you might get over, you know, spam mail or something like that, but the guy shows up from, you know, Western Union on your doorstep and says, "Here's a telegram for you," and you open up that telegram and that telegram says, "Congratulations, you've won $1 million. There's nothing you need to do except be home when we deliver it to your house." Now, how would you respond? You're gonna stay home. Alright? Here is what the promise is. Here is what, and if you have true expectation, then your actions are going to reflect that. You're not gonna say, like Terry and Joy get together every once in a while and they go over and have their hair done. If it's that day that the mail is, or whoever, however that $1 million is going to get there, you're not going to see these two saying, "Let's go ahead and call it up and see if we can get our hair done this afternoon." No, get your hair done and miss the opportunity to get your million-dollar check. No, they're going to be camping on that front porch. They're going to be looking for it. Every car that would come down the street, they're going to... No, that wasn't it. Okay. And they're just waiting. All right. Your expectation is going to reveal your faith. If you don't really believe, you're not really going to expect. But if you are expecting, then you are, you know, it's going to be reflected in what you do. And you know, we've gone over all of these different illustrations, especially on Wednesday night, the woman who had the discharge of blood for so many years. You know, she read in the Bible, last book in our Bible, in Malachi, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, or the hem of his garment. There are three things in Hebrew Scripture that that word refers to. It refers to a hem, all right? It refers to the tassels on a tallit, a prayer cloth, and what is the other thing that it refers to? Healing on his wings. There's another one, forgive me, I just can't remember right now. And so she reads this, and she says, well, if he is the Son of Righteousness, if he is the Messiah, then that healing that I have gone broke trying to attain, paying off all the doctors and buying all their silly medications and stuff that doesn't work, then there, that healing that I'm looking for is going to be in the hem of his garment. And she risked everything. She had a disease. To be in public meant a immediate public execution. You could not have a discharge of any kind in Jewish society and be with other people. You had to sequester yourself away, to go out in public, to push her way through the crowd so that she could just get to Jesus, required so much faith, because you see, the alternative for her was death. If she didn't make it to Jesus, if she didn't get her healing, then somebody's going to hold her responsible for breaking the Jewish law. And that meant death. Alright? But her faith was reflected in her actions. Amen? And so we need to, it's easy for us, oh yes, I believe. Do you really? Because our faith will be reflected in our actions. Jesus turned to the lady, and he turned, and she realized she's already healed. Jesus did nothing. He felt, the King James says, he felt virtue flow from him. He had nothing to do with it. It was her reaching out there. I'm sure his divine side was involved, but as far as his human side was concerned, you know, and she confessed what had happened, and he said, go in peace. Your faith has made you well. Your faith that motivated you into action has provided for your healing. Amen? And then in this Easter season, we've seen time after time people going to the tomb. The tomb is a real place. You can go to the tomb in Jerusalem. Even today, it's still there. It's empty. Amen? Okay? Muhammad's tomb isn't empty. Muhammad's body is in there. Buddha's tomb isn't empty. His body is in there. But Christ's tomb, that thing is empty. And so John and Peter ran toward the tomb, they were just expecting to find an empty tomb. And what did they find when they got there? An empty tomb. Mary Magdalene sticks her head in after they left, and what does she find? Angels. And then she turns around and there's Jesus. See, what was she expecting? Her actions reflected something deeper than what Christ's own disciples were exhibiting. They had the faith to see the tomb's empty. Reckon what that means. Okay, they've got to go home and scold us up. It says that John saw it, he remembered the words of Jesus, and he believed. Okay, but Peter and the rest of them, they don't know how, this just didn't compute for them. But Mary went with an expectation. Her actions determined what she received. Amen? And so I just want to encourage us this day. We're getting down towards the end of the Easter season with Pentecost coming up quickly. And I just want us to be encouraged from all of the stories, the records of what happened at the tomb during that time in the life of the church. The church is just beginning to grow. Well, as a matter of fact, some believe that the birth date of the church was the day of Pentecost, so that would be 50 days after the Passover. And so, you know, church is just in an infant stage right now. It's just starting off, and it was so neat to see that people are expecting things to happen, and their faith, their expectations is borne out in what God gave them, what God revealed to them. And so, you know, we can get up in the morning and God bless my steps today and help me to be a witness or whatever. And we'll keep our eyes open perhaps for an opportunity to share the gospel message with somebody. Just to say a God bless you or Jesus loves you, whatever. That's letting your light so shine before men. Amen. Or we may say today, Lord, let me experience the supernatural. Because that's what we are. We are now supernatural beings. We have a spirit that's been made alive in Christ. That's supernatural. And we're fleshly. We're still stuck in this old flesh. And we take care of that flesh, don't we? How many of you had breakfast this morning? Okay, yeah, got to take care of that flesh. If you didn't have it this morning, how many are you going to have it later today? You're not going to go all day without eating. Okay, I know us. I know what the flesh is, all right? We take care of that flesh, but do we take care of that spirit man? Because it's that spirit man that is going to live forever in the presence of Jesus. This old flesh, it's going away. And at the resurrection, we'll be given a glorified body like Jesus had. Is it flesh? Yes and no. It's Jesus said that a spirit doesn't have flesh and bone as you see that I have. And so Jesus' glorified body had flesh and bone, but it wasn't like our bodies. Because he's able to just go through locked doors. He's able to, in the morning, be with the folks at the tomb, don't touch me yet, I've not yet ascended to the Father, and that same afternoon show up at the disciples' place as they're locked and hiding and quivering like, little girls, are the Romans and the Jews, they're going to get us. And Jesus shows up and he says, hey, it's me. Put your hand there. Put your finger there. Go ahead. Give it a try. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bone as you see that I have. And so that gives us actually about the only hint that we have about the glorified body. It's not subject to the laws of physics because he can snap back and forth between heaven and earth. He can touch somebody, but then he can turn around and walk through a wall. Alright? So, you know, the Bible gives us these little tiny hints about what the glorified body is, and we will get that at the resurrection. Alright? That's good. That's great. We don't have any control over that. That's just what God has promised us. That's part of when He rose victorious over death. He said, you too, because you are in me, you too will rise victorious over death. And so we have that promise of eternity. Amen. We are mortals confined by this flesh on this earth, but we are also the supernatural children of God. And our spirit man and our spirit woman has been made alive in Christ. All right? Now, I have an idea that if we, for a lot of Christians, when you die and go to heaven, and that's your spirit man or spirit woman that gets there, because your flesh definitely doesn't make the trip. It's stuck in the grave or wherever you left it. But when it just, what is that spirit body going to be like? Is it going to be all, I can barely put one foot in front of the other. I'm so weak and broken down. And what? Why didn't you feed the spirit while you had the chance? No. I just figured that going to church was for old women and children. And whatever. You've got to build up, St. Paul says, you build up that spirit man, that spirit within you. How do you do that? Reading the Word. And then stepping out on the promises that God's Word reveals. And once we do that, then the spirit part of our existence becomes pretty bold. And then we can be kind of like the Apostle Paul, who has spent his whole adult life serving Jesus. And it comes time for him to give up his life. And he's sitting there, I'm in a quandary. I don't know what to do. I can stay in the flesh and help you. I can help you to grow. I can share the things of God with you, the church, and we'll grow up together in Christ. Or I can be with Jesus. Oh, what a choice to make. All right, and Jesus, if you want me to stay down here a little longer and help these people along, then let's do it. Amen. If you're ready to take me home, to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. Amen. Amen. So, in this Easter season, new life. That's what the whole thing is: resurrection life. Let's try feeding our spirit man or our spirit woman. All right, you have body. That's that heart. Okay, poke yourself in the eye, and that reminds you that the body is fragile. All right, you have body. Then you have soul. That's your mind, will, and emotions. It's what makes you you. All right, my soul is who I am. This flesh that you see is just the mechanism that God gave me to carry my soul around with, all right? But then there's a third part, my spirit. This flesh, they can destroy, but they can't destroy my soul, and they can't destroy my spirit, which means that when my spirit man goes to heaven, it's still Dale, and I will not be controlled by the lusts of the flesh any longer, because that's associated with your flesh man or woman. And that's been left behind. And so it's our soul and our spirit that goes up to heaven. And if we have been trusting God and looking for the blessings, well, we'll arrive on fire. All right, I've made it. Father God, what do you have for me to do? What can we do? Let's get something done up here. All right? And so keep your eyes open for the answer to prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is God giving us the chance to partner with Him in what He's already doing. Okay? And so, we're talking about somebody who needs healing. I knew that long before we ever, I had know what you have need of, even before you ask it. Okay? So, He was already going to do something with that loved one. But now, because we have followed the the unction of the Holy Spirit, we've prayed for that. And so when that person receives that blessing, whatever, how God decides to do it, we can sit back and say, yeah, God let me take part in that. Amen? And so just think of that, that God is giving us the chance to join with Him, partner with Him in what He's doing in this earth. One thing God doesn't do is He doesn't speak for Himself. He doesn't. He sent Jesus to bring us the message of salvation. What does He do today? He sends His Holy Spirit to guide us into His will. But if a message needs to be made, if somebody needs to hear some encouragement, how's God going to accomplish that? That's right. This little mouth. Amen? Can we wake up in the morning and say, God, if there is a message for anybody today, use me. Use me. If somebody needs to hear a word of encouragement, use me. Don't let it just be me. You're using me, as the Bible calls us. We're vessels that are chosen for godliness. We've been set aside for God's work. If there's something that needs to be done, God, use me. And when we pray in the morning like that, and we really mean it, then what's the rest of our day going to be like? We're going to be looking for it, all right? You need to hear a word? Well, you know, we're going to be looking for the opportunities. Folks, Terry and I have been in ministry for over 50 years. And we have ministered in little churches and big churches, and we've ministered all over the world. And I never realized the opportunities that the folks in our age group have in ministry. Everybody else, you got a family, you're climbing the corporate ladder, you're working two jobs to give your kids a nice, whatever it is. It's funny how God is the last person to be considered when that's what your emphasis is, climbing that ladder, providing for the family. And now at our age, what do we have to be concerned about? Amen? We can be the ones that God can use to bring a word of encouragement. We can be the ones that God can use to, I mean, even if it's opening the door for someone. But I guarantee you, if you make that prayer in the morning, God, I just want to be a vessel that you can flow through, whether it's to say something or to do something, I just want to be that vessel that's dedicated to your service. You keep your eyes open during the day, and you're going to see so many opportunities. Amen? Amen. This can really be the most exciting times in our life. It really can be. Amen?